The title of the message today is, Do You Have the Real Thing? And we're kind of coming to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and we see that Jesus, like every good Baptist preacher, is bringing his message to a close with an invitation to repent. And he does this by using examples with stark contrasts, showing that there are really only two options. This isn't an essay test where you can just make up the answer. It's either true or it's false. He talks about the wide gate and the narrow gate, the way that leads to destruction or the way that leads to life. He talks about good trees and corrupt trees. He talks about good fruit, evil fruit. He talks about the sayers and the doers, the wise and the foolish, the rock and the sand, the house that stood and the house that fell. Now today we're going to be talking about the good trees and the corrupt trees. All of these things that I just mentioned and the things that Jesus mentioned, they look very similar at first glance on the outside. But when you look further, you see them for what they really are. The Pharisees seemed like they were righteous, but their righteousness was just superficial. That's why Jesus called them hypocrites. It's because they professed to be something that they weren't. They were fake. They were self-righteous. They were not real. They were not genuine followers of God. They were trusting in their works, not the work of God and faith in that and faith in Him. And sadly today, there are a lot of people like that. There are a lot of people who profess Christianity. A lot of people say, well, I'm a Christian, but they're not. How does this happen? How does this happen? A lot of people are like, well, the people say they say that they're a Christian, but I just don't know. How does that happen? Because false teachers and poor theology lead to false converts. If you preach a life enhancement gospel, that if you just believe, you will have health, wealth, prosperity, you'll be happy, that's not the gospel. The Bible never promises any of that. And a lot of people today are hung up on happiness. What's going to make me happy? But the Bible never promises happiness, just joy. Now, let's look at our text. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We'll start in verse 15, and we'll go on through verse 23. And if you want, you can stand if you're physically able. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets, which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do not men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You can be seated. This is one of the scariest verses in the Bible to me. This is one of the most convicting verses in the Bible. It's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. That there will be people on the day of judgment that will think they have everything figured out, but they don't. And Jesus gives us two examples here of people who are not real. People who don't get it. First, he tells us to beware of false prophets. Now, a false prophet is one who pretends to be a prophet of God. but he's not the real thing. They claim to be men sent by God with a message from God, and a lot of them will say, well, God gave me this message directly. God spoke to me and told me. No, he didn't. Listen, they're only imposters. They only are pretending. And so look at what the false prophets pretend and note how deceptive they are. Jesus says, beware of false prophets. Be careful. Don't be misled. In Matthew 24:4, Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, because that's exactly what false prophets do. They are like wolves dressed up in sheep's clothing. And they aren't pretending to be sheep. They are impersonating true shepherds. They are promoting the easy way, the wide way, the way that is, this is not a problem. The way that's pleasing to people. Now, when Jesus refers to sheep's clothing, he really very well may be referring to the woolen clothes that shepherds wore. Okay? These people aren't dressed up like sheep. They're dressed up like shepherds. And the shepherds smell like the sheep. Okay? The pastor, the true pastor, will be with his congregation. He will be with his people. He will smell like them. And a lot of these false prophets, now, they can pass the sniff test. Okay? They put statements of faith on their websites and materials. They print out that says, this is our statement of faith. And it sounds okay. But that isn't what they teach. Amen. I had a friend who asked me, he's like, hey, I've been listening to this preacher, and he's saying all these things, and he sounds really good. He said, will you check on him and see if he's okay? So I go on his website, I read his statement of faith, everything sounds good. So then I start listening to a sermon. It's horrible. He's teaching prosperity and health and wealth, and I'm like, no. I was like, you need to get far away from this guy. And these guys talk about the Bible. They talk about God. They talk about Jesus. They talk about the Holy Spirit. They talk about all these things. And a lot of them are good speakers. They sound good. They sing songs that sound so good. And that's how they get a lot of people, is through music. But the Bible says inwardly they are ravening wolves. They look righteous on the outside, but on the inside they are far from God. They're ready to feed their insatiable appetite. And the wolf is the natural enemy of the sheep. They want to be as close to the sheep as possible so they can kill them and devour them. And it's a whole lot easier if you're closer, right? Now, I really don't like dogs. I have a dog of my own, but I really don't like dogs. And I'll tell you why. One Sunday morning when I was little, I don't remember, I was probably 8 or 9 years old, I was helping my dad pick up kids in the church bus, and I went out to knock on somebody's door. Well, a pack of dogs, like, rolled me, and I don't know what happened, but all of them, I think every one of them bit me and clawed me and kicked me. So that wasn't a good experience. Then when I was in the eighth grade, I was selling raffle tickets for a carnival, and I got attacked by a Doberman Pinscher. Okay, so not another not good experience with dogs. My best friend in high school, I was playing basketball at his house. We were just shooting baskets, no reason. The ball goes over in the weeds. I pick up the ball. As soon as I come back, his dog just takes a big hunk out of my hand. And I'm just like, okay. So I really don't like other people's dogs, okay? And when Pastor Wes and I go on visitation, we always look for that sign that says, beware of dog. Okay, that's my reason. I don't know why he does it. But when you see that sign, you look for that dog, right? I know I do. And you are overly cautious. You are keenly aware that something, okay, we don't know what or who. It may be a huge dog, it may be a little, I don't know, but there is a dog here and I need to look out. Now, this is precisely what Jesus is doing. He puts up a sign that says, beware of the wolves. They are the most dreaded enemy of the sheep, and we need to be looking out for them. Now, look at how destructive they are. These wolves are dangerous because they are deceptive. They come in sheep's clothing to deceive God's people. We must beware of them. And many times we read things in Scripture, we read warnings, and we don't heed them. A lot of people are like, oh, well, that's not for me. It's for you. If it's in the Bible, it's for you. And if there was ever a generation that needed to be warned about false prophets, it's this one. Just turn on your TV or go to YouTube. They're everywhere. And a lot of them, like I said before, they use music to promote their false churches. You have Bethel, you have Hillsong, you have Elevation. And they all sing songs that sound so good. And you can hear them on the radio and like, oh, that's a good song. But they are leading people astray. Their theology is heretical. What they teach in their churches is wrong. It's not anywhere close to what we teach. So you need to stay away from them. Now, I just flipped the wrong page. Give me just a second. Very recently, and I don't know if you guys know who this guy is, but Creflo Dollar. Okay, anybody, any preacher with the last name Dollar, I think, that might be a sign. But he said that he repented. He repented of teaching tithing and giving incorrectly. Now, the repentance and the apology started out sounding good. But as he continued to speak, his true motivation was revealed. He said that it was wrong. He was wrong for teaching tithing because it was part of the law. It is part of the law. He said that we should now give out of the appreciation of the grace that God has shown us. We should. That is also true. Then he said, that was the reason that some people weren't receiving a blessing. See, they were only given 10%. And they should be given more so they could receive a blessing. You should give out of gratitude. You should give out of the grace that God has shown you in Christ. That's how you should give. But you do not give to get. You should give with pure motives, and you should give with an attitude of worship, not to get a return on your investment. There is no ROI on giving. Okay? It doesn't work that way. And he didn't really repent, because if he did repent, he would be writing checks back to the people who gave him money, right? He didn't do that. He really just wanted more. Let's look at verses 16 through 18. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You have to look at what false prophets produce. You have to look at their fruit. What they are will determine what they do. You can't get good fruit from a thorn bush, and it must be a real fruit tree in order to bear real fruit. A dead tree cannot produce life. And a corrupt person, a person who is corrupt on the inside, will only produce that which is corrupt. Okay? Some people say, well, what can we do to make these trees bear fruit? Right? We have people who listen to, Alan Storjahan on Saturdays, and they're like, hey, I need to know why my grass isn't growing, why my tree isn't. And they're like, okay, we need to do these things. And these people try to apply these things to spirituality or to God, and it doesn't work. You can prune it. Number one, you can prune it. Some people just think if they put away certain sin from their life, oh, I'm just not going to do that anymore, hoping that they will do something else in its place and they will bear fruit that will get them into heaven. Doesn't work that way. Some people say, well, you can transplant it, put it somewhere else, dig up the tree and plant it somewhere different. And some people do that with church membership. They go from church to church to church. They're like, well, I don't really agree with everything they say. Maybe I should go somewhere else. I don't agree with what they say either. I need to go somewhere else. And they go from church to church to church, but really all they're doing is transplanting a corrupt tree. You can't fix it. Now, you can cultivate it, you can fertilize it, you can spray it with insecticide, you can do all this stuff. And some people do that by going to Bible school, or they go to seminary, they learn everything there is to know about the Bible. But, listen to me. You are not saved by knowing the Bible, or even believing in the Bible. Listen, a lot of false denominations and cults are based on Bible verses. They say, we don't need doctrine, we just use the Bible. That's dangerous. The Pharisees knew the Old Testament better than anyone on the planet, but they were mistaken. They didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't know what he was there to do. They were trusting in their works. They were trusting in what they knew. They were trusting in, oh yeah, I know all of this stuff. So without some sort of systematic theology or doctrine, you can totally miss what the Bible plainly says. And you can read a verse out of context and say, oh, well, I think the Bible says this. No, it doesn't. Now, some people think, well, we can just rename the tree or decorate it or tie some good fruit on there, put some fruit on its dead limbs. But that's not going to change the nature of the tree. And that's what some people try to do. They're like, oh, well, I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to try to tie on some fruit so people think I'm real, but I'm really not. Let's look at verses 19 and 20. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Look at their future. What is in their future? The root determines the fruit, and the fruit will reveal the root. And I know sometimes you can go outside and you look at trees and you really can't tell what kind of tree they are until they actually bear fruit, right? There's a lot of trees that look similar, but you can't tell, like, I don't know what kind of tree this is. Oh, okay, it's a pear tree. It's an apple tree. Okay, now I get it. So you can identify it by its fruit. How are you supposed to judge people? By their fruit. Now, the motives, the ministry, the message, the methods of false prophets will always be corrupt because they are corrupt at heart. Their deeds reveal that they are not the real thing. Look at what John the Baptist told the Pharisees in Luke chapter 3. This is the beginning of his ministry. So John 3, let's back up to verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. They're saying, listen, John, I know you're preaching repentance, but we're descended from Abraham. He is our father. It doesn't matter who you're descended from. Doesn't matter if your dad is a preacher. Doesn't matter if your grandpa is a preacher. Your dad's a deacon. Doesn't matter. That has no bearing. You have to bear fruit that shows that you have repented, because a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Now, on the other hand, a good tree can't produce evil fruit. If you have really been converted, if you are the real thing, your life will reflect it. A Christian is a person whose life has been supernaturally transformed by God's grace. That's the only way it can happen. You can't do it by yourself. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Amen. There's going to be a change in your life. Next, he tells us to beware of false professions. Now listen, if you don't see fruit, some people are just too young. Some people, you just won't see it. Now if you don't see fruit, you've been around this person, you don't see fruit, ask them to tell you their story, their salvation story, their repentance story. And the truth will come out. It will reveal itself. I have listened to people tell me their testimony, and I want to go and cry. Because nothing in their testimony ever says they repented. Nothing in their testimony ever says that they had any aversion to their sin. They just said, well, the pastor preached on hell, and I didn't want to go to hell, so I walked down and I prayed a prayer. That's not how it works, folks. It's not. So the obvious result of preaching and of false prophets will be false professions. And they'll be made by people who have been deceived by a false message. And it's really sad to think that all these people who think they are okay, they think they're saved, are actually lost. Look at verse 21. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, Jesus isn't talking about atheists. He's not talking about agnostics. He's not talking about Buddhists. He is talking about religious people. He is talking about people who think they know who Jesus is. These are people who will say, Lord, Lord. These aren't the weirdos that people are like, oh yeah, I know that guy's going to hell. No. These are religious people. They're people who have a religious profession. They claim to be followers of Jesus. But not everyone who claims to follow Christ is really saved. And some of you may have had the same kind of experience. I've talked to countless numbers of people who realize later in life, they're like, I went to church all this time, and I realized in my 30s, in my 40s, in my 50s, I realized I wasn't a Christian. I realized I wasn't saved. There's a lot of people, and hopefully there's people here that will happen to. You will understand. But many people hear a message that excludes repentance of sin. Many people hear a message that says just believing in God and doing your best is good enough. Hopefully you've never heard that here. And some people think they're saved, they think they're okay because they were baptized, or they went through confirmation, or they joined a church. But if there's no conversion or regeneration, those things don't count. And there's a lot of lost church members that will be part of this group that stands before Jesus on Judgment Day. You do not want to be in this group. Verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Look at these people. They had a religious practice, not just a profession. They thought they had a practice. And you see what the lost will claim. Some lost church members will be able to boast of a lot of things they did as church members down here. Some will even profess that they have done some amazing things. And you listen to the songs you hear on the radio today, and a lot of these people, they will repeat the name of Jesus over and over and over again. They will say there's power in the name of Jesus. They will say, all I have to do is speak the name of Jesus over you. Just say Jesus. The power isn't in just saying his name. You can say his name 50 times. You can sing it 100 times. It doesn't matter. It's not going to do anything. The power is in the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power to salvation. Not the name of Jesus. A lot of people are going to speak the name of Jesus, and it does nothing for them. Now, they said they prophesied in Jesus' name. They cast out devils in Jesus' name. They did many wonderful works in Jesus' name. They say that they did these things, But did they? Their confidence is in their works. It's not in their faith. It's not in their obedience to Christ. It's not in their obedience to the gospel. Now, I'm sure that Benny Hinn and Todd White will claim that they have lengthened people's legs and they have cast out evil spirits. But did they really? The Pharisees thought that they were the real thing. But Jesus, as we said earlier, he called them hypocrites. He said, you're fake. You're not real. Lastly, we'll see what the Lord will condemn. Look at verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus will say, I never knew you. Now, he's not saying that God didn't know who they are. God knows everything and everyone. He's saying that he does not know them as belonging to him. Jesus said in 2 Timothy 2:19 that he knows his own sheep by name. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He tells him that he never knew them. He doesn't say that they strayed or that they fell away. He said they were never his. And Jesus will have to say, depart from me, to these people. And this is not something that's good. Jesus will send them away to be eternally separated from God. And it's sad. Because this person who professed to being a Christian, was involved in religious activities, will be rejected by God. How does that happen? Listen, God doesn't leave it up to me. He doesn't leave it up to you to decide how you want to be saved and what you want to believe. You have to come God's way, through Christ, through repentance, or you will be rejected. So think, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your works? Are you trusting in the things that you do? Are you trusting in your baptism? Are you trusting in your confirmation? Your church membership? Your giving? Your offerings? Your tithes? Is that what you're trusting in? The question you need to ask yourself is, have I been born again? Because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he will not see heaven. Is there fruit in your life that demonstrates repentance? Do you have any? Has there been a change? Because trust me, if you have truly met Christ and you have truly repented, you are different. Amen. In conclusion, do you have the real thing? Now, this passage is not speaking of people who were once saved but lost their salvation. Absolutely not. Amen. These are false converts. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:10 that we should make our calling and election sure. That means we should always be making sure that we are in the faith. Now listen, these people, some of these people may have sung in the choir. They may have taught a Sunday school class. They might have been a deacon or might have even been a pastor of a church. But they never repented. What does that look like? Now imagine a few weeks ago, Brother Gabe comes up to me. He says, Brother Tim, he's like, I really want to go to the ABA meeting, and I'm going to drive. I know the way. I've been there. I've been to Florida. He said, I want to drive. Will you go with me? And I said, sure, Brother Gabe, I'll go with you. Now, we hop in his truck. We start driving. Now, 10 hours go by, and I get a little concerned. We drive by a bank, and I notice that the temperature on the bank is cooler then when we left Tulsa, and I thought, well, that's strange, but we are having a heat wave, so okay. Then I noticed that I'm not seeing palm trees. Instead, I'm seeing pine trees. And I think, well, that's odd. And all of a sudden, I see a sign that reads, Canada, 84 miles. That's it. I know we're going the wrong direction. But what do I want Gabe to do? I want him to do more than just change his mind. I want him to agree with me that we are headed the wrong direction. And not only just agree with me and keep on driving, I want him to stop. And I don't just want it, and then I would want him to ask for forgiveness. But I wouldn't want him just to sit there and stop asking me for forgiveness and keep asking me for forgiveness, right? Don't just sit there, turn around. And I wouldn't want him just to turn around. I would want him to start driving in the right direction. And I would not want him to stop until we got to our destination. That's what repentance looks like. Ask yourself, have you repented? Have you seen the seriousness of your sin and where it puts you in relationship to God? Have you seen the sacrifice of a Savior that gave himself to pay the penalty of your sin? A Savior that loves you. Have you turned from your sin? Have you asked for God's forgiveness? And have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ alone? There are going to be many people who cry out on the day of judgment, Lord, Lord. And he's going to respond, I never knew you. It's not enough to know Jesus. You must be known by him. And he will know you and he will welcome you if and only if you come to him through repentance and faith. We have seen all these other options and we've made it very easy. But a lot of them aren't biblical. Now, perhaps you once uttered the sinner's prayer. But have you repented? Perhaps you walked an aisle and you wanted to accept Jesus, but have you repented? Perhaps you asked Jesus into your heart, but have you repented? Perhaps you were confirmed, but have you repented? Perhaps you were baptized as a baby or even as an adult, but have you repented? Perhaps you raised your hand and said, I don't want to go to hell, but have you repented of your sin? What are you trusting in for your salvation? Your baptism, your confirmation, your church membership, your religious activities, your tithing, your giving. None of that's going to get you into heaven. You have to repent and believe the gospel. I'm going to ask Brother Thomas to come and we're going to have a hymn of invitation. This is a time that you're given to respond to what you've heard and to think about what you've heard. Ask yourself, have I really repented? Because that's what counts. It's not just simply believing. It's repenting and trusting in the gospel.